Check.
Yahtzee.
Leander Caney here with Kaltamak. Got my ale. Everything's great.
Are there any other British people you want me to do?
I'll do Charlie.
Got my ale here. Charlie here, the Kaltamak.
Amazing.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airborne Elijah, and we have a full couch full of Cult of Mac men. And one lady. That's what you're supposed
to be. That's
me. But no. That's deputy editor and now woman, John Brownlee.
Hello.
We are at CES. You may notice the audio sounds different. That's because we're all sitting in front of a mic, so forgive any audio faux pas you may hear. We've got our reviewers, our gadget editor, Charlie Sorrell. I've never had to say your name before.
Yes.
Just flew in from Barcelona. Welcome, Charlie.
Hello.
Well, I've got Buster hiding to my right. I've got Leander down at the end of the couch.
Hey,
and then John Brownlee is there at the very end of the couch.
Hey, guys.
And I know we didn't mention we were going to do this, but we're going to be doing a new episode every night covering all the things that we've been seeing at CES just because we couldn't be parted from you guys. Because we love you that much. And actually, we saw some Cultcast fans.
Oh, yeah,
we today, did. Which was awesome. We got our pictures taken.
What was his name?
Andrew Starks.
It wasn't Starks, but he was
that was his fake last name. He's at Andrew Starks, so if you're listening, Andrew, you're a cute guy. That's what Buster said.
I love this koi tattoo.
What? I said we're here at CES.
So CES is the Consumer Electronics Show.
Oh, like people don't know that.
No, they don't know.
Leander's sitting here drawing ghost characters at me. I'm like, just say it. You're in front of the microphone.
I should explain to people. CES is a big Consumer Electronics Show. It's in Las Vegas. This is a big show. This is, in fact, it's the last big trade show in the technology industry. Like, they've all died, right? There used to be Comdex and a bunch of others that went away.
Well, see, that's what I always thought too. But then people were like, "Oh man, there's the ones in Asia that are way bigger than CES."
Well, I mean, there are other consumer electronics shows.
So the biggest one in the U.S.
But this is the one that gives you the biggest scope of what is going on in the electronics industry, and it's also the one that, like, in its own inadvertent way, I think Apple is most present at. They don't present here, but they're just like, everybody here is reacting to not only what Apple's just done, but what they think Apple's going to do. And that's
right.
Well, that's a weird thing. It's the one show that Apple doesn't go to, hasn't been to, but is completely dominated by what Apple does.
Yeah, and there's like whole sections just devoted to like Apple stuff, right?
And that's a big question, isn't it? Why are we
So why are we here? I mean, I think Leander and John could best say because...
They put us here.
You put us here. Yeah, because I know why I'm here.
Well, I'll tell...
Booth babes. Booth babes.
Yeah, well,
iPad cases.
They get more haggard every year. No, it's an enticing draw. It's like a steak served 7 years in a row. But, like, I think we're here specifically because, you know, Apple isn't here.
Yeah.
But all of these guys have supply chains. They all go very deep and stuff. And they all think... They're like, what is Apple going to do next? What is Apple going to do next? Like, they're all reacting to, like, the anticipation of Apple. And, like, that's really interesting. Like, what does the TV industry think that Apple's going to do? Like, they all think Apple's coming out with an HD TV this year. Intel's here. They're doing a smart TV. Like, they're doing... Like, there's so many people here who are like, what's coming next? Last year, you saw the same thing with 7-inch, 8-inch tablets. They're like, iPad mini, it's got to be coming. Got to be coming. How do we stay ahead of Apple? So, you know, what you see here is, like... In my opinion, a certain form of, like, panicked scurrying ahead of, like, a coming apocalypse, like, you know. And
which,
like,
is how it was last year, too, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Everyone was just, like, trying to anticipate.
That,
yeah.
Right.
They had, like, tons of MacBook Air knockoffs with all the Ultrabooks last
year.
Well, here's...
Right.
Yeah, last year, Intel's, like, faking whole conferences about, like, Ultrabook possibilities. Because, like, you know, Intel, like, kind of, like, helped Apple make the Ultrabook standard. But, like, then they were just, like, trying to... They're like, well, we're not going to make any real money off of... We'd have to get everybody in on this game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, so that's really cool, but you also have, no, but you also have, like, we've had huge, major shifts this year, like, on things like lightning accessories and stuff like that. Like,
which we're barely just starting
well,
to see.
Well, actually, did you see any? I didn't see any
tonight. Well, we should probably say this, so, for people.
One dog. Two dogs.
I saw two dogs, too. So, we actually haven't been to the show yet.
Well,
so
the show doesn't even start until Wednesday.
The show starts on Wednesday, so we get here, they had a press event tonight that we went to called, I always forget the name.
CS Unveiled.
It's just a bunch of products all in one room. We walk around, they try to woo us, right? Try to get us to give them some press. So we look for cool products at these events. And then tomorrow we have another one called Showstoppers.
Right.
That we'll be going to. That one will be bigger than the one tonight.
Right. Yeah.
And hopefully we'll see a lot even more products, Apple-related
tomorrow
products.
Tomorrow you got keynotes, cocktails. Though.
Oh, then tomorrow we have the keynotes all day, which...
Like Panasonic, Samsung, Ford.
Yeah.
Tons of companies.
And then on Tuesday we actually... Did we talk about Tuesday?
Well, no, yeah, then we have another event. It's
Pepcom.
Pepcom.
Yeah. Okay, so then the show actually starts on Tuesday for us, right? And we get to roam the floors.
Yeah, if you're following this from the home audience, like I'm sure the CS seems like an all week thing, but it's actually only like three days, and the last day no one's there.
It's
like,
a ghost town. Absolutely.
I mean, this all happens before the show even opens.
And we thought there was gonna be like a bunch of dog connectors. This was gonna be the big coming out party, but you know tonight did anyone see? You saw two?
I saw like three lightning.
Two of these big docks, like one alarm clock thing, and I think maybe they're both alarm clocks from.
I saw, but someone had an explanation. Apple is actually not
licensing.
I was the one who talked to that guy. They were like saying to me, like, Belkin's getting it. Like
Can you explain to me, Apple's not licensing out. So they're not letting people use the lightning accessory yet, right? That's what you're saying?
Right. So, backtracking, in November, Apple in China flew in a bunch of guys for their MFI kind of, like, made for iPhone, iPad, partner meeting where they're like, okay, well now we've got lightning, this is what it means for you. So if you can't get like a lightning battery case or whatever, that's why. So Apple just wasn't giving anybody access before they announced the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And then they flew everybody out to China, and according to the guys I was talking to, they were like, okay, well, Belkin and I forget who the other guy was, but they were like, Belkin and you guys can start selling these now, basically. But everybody else, it sounded like they just didn't have the capacity to... Because, you know, there's all sorts of, like, weird little chips in electronics. It's not a very simple cable.
Well, GoCharge had this company called GoCharge had a really cool battery pack with the lightning adapter built in, so you don't need the cable.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
And they don't... They're not a major... Have you guys heard of them before? I actually have never even heard of them.
Yeah. And I guarantee you they told you it wasn't shipping until April. That's what everybody I talked to.
They may have
like.
Said that, but they had working. Well, I guess they just had working prototypes there. Yeah,
so. Yeah. Like yeah. I everybody I talked to had a lightning accessory. I was just like, when are you shipping? They're like April.
Huh.
That's a good face you're making, Leander.
Because I'm trying to think.
Is that your thinking face? when you dry your teeth off with your finger and then push your lip up.
So, yeah. Right. Well. So the original question was like, so why weren't there any lightning accessories and. So why aren't there any lightning?
Because Apple's not licensing it out yet.
Apple's basically giving like a couple of like
so they're
key
playing
volume
favorites.
Players like
early
access, and then everybody else they're saying like effectively Q2 2013.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's basically Leander's thinking.
Oh no,
face.
He's doing it too.
Charlie's doing it. So
it helps, doesn't it?
Before we move on, because we want to talk about our favorite gadgets that we saw today, we each had one picked. Did you want to say anything else about why we're here, technology wise? Leander Caney.
As editor-in-chief.
Editor-in-chief of Cult-O-Mac.
There's a lot of stuff going on in the Apple accessory world.
Yes.
Well said.
Poignant thoughts by Leander Caney. Leander's also probably, what are you on, your 24th drink right now?
I know why Leander's here.
Yeah. About 3 gallons of that antifreeze.
Leander at this party was drinking this drink that looked exactly like the antifreeze you put in your car.
Looks radioactive.
And he kept talking about how bad it was, and then he kept drinking them. And I'm not sure.
Go get me another one.
Each one got better than the one before. So
yeah, and I hope you guys are all enjoying our naked nudie pics that we're posting.
Oh. I'm getting so all over those new things.
They look really good.
Who Charlie's the biggest?
Charlie's was the best one, I think.
I think Charlie's was the best one.
So for readers who can't see this, we should check out Instagram.
Yeah. Instagram. Go to Instagram. Yeah.
Or blind readers.
Like, Cult of Mac's our username.
Yeah, at Cult of Mac.
And, which, yeah, super funny. There's a bunch of hilarious pictures. Much better than Seneca's, Gizmodo's, and Gadget's.
Combined, I would say. Ours are better than all theirs combined.
Even 9 to 5...
It is funny as all.
9 to 5 Max Mark German said we were the best photo stream of CES so far. So,
you know what? I gotta say, I kind of feel like we are. By the way, you should follow me and Buster because we're posting a lot of these nudie pics.
BSP3R and Airfon.
And then at Airfon, same as our Twitter handle. So if you want to see a lot of nudie pics, make sure you go there.
What about iLounge this year? Did anyone? How big is it this year?
We haven't seen it yet. Why are we talking about iLounge?
But so someone did. Because that's where all the Apple stuff is.
So the iLounge, for people that don't list or have never been to CES, is this Apple centric part of the show, right?
Yeah,
and it keeps growing every year. It keeps getting bigger and bigger.
There's a really interesting statistic about that. Lander's talking about, they said that if they put all of iLounge into one throbbing biomass, it would be larger than 10 of the largest blue whales who would ever live.
Wow. Way to put it out into terms that the average person can understand.
Well, it's bigger than Macworld is in February, and it's bigger than Macworld or twice as big
it's
as Macworld.
It's gotta be, yeah. It's got
already. Is it bigger than Macworld now? You mean Macworld iWorld? Sorry,
right? Macworld iWorld, yeah. Which of course is the big granddaddy of the big,
Apple.
Yeah,
Apple,
but you know, it's shows. Like I feel like now CES, especially the iLounge, is becoming that what Macworld
was. Well, iLounge
is
CES. Well, it's very real way now.
Yeah,
that's why we're here, because the action has gone from Macworld to CES.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, the iLounge is going to be filled with all sorts of amazing Apple accessories. But not even talking about Apple accessories, there's going to be some cool stuff like the 4K televisions.
See, I saw that, LG one, and I didn't even realize it was a 4G television until I read Gizmodo's post on it. And I was like, oh, I was looking at a 4G TV.
Well, but you're 4K, looking at a picture, right?
Whatever, sorry, 4K. It was 3D 4K.
4G TV.
Yeah, no, it's LTE built in, Well, so what did you guys like at... So we won't really get a shot at it.
Yeah, so we really kind of get into the meat and potatoes of the show on Tuesday.
Yeah, right. But we have seen today's CES unveiled, so that is our first look. There are a number of exhibitors who give a view of products that they want the press to have early access to it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, exciting new products that we haven't seen before.
Quote-unquote.
Yeah, quote-unquote. But still, so we've all seen a bunch of new accessories and gadgets and stuff that are coming up. And what'd you guys think of that?
I thought there was actually a lot of stuff that we've already, that was exact debuted last year. And they just had another booth again.
What was the best thing you saw? Well, fuel cell.
I didn't see the fool. I saw this. There was this weather station thing.
The Nanatmo.
And it's...
You should read my review on that on Cult of Mac.
You already posted it?
Yeah. What? I reviewed it
four months ago. I was gonna freaking post a story on it.
Now this is a new one, I think.
They have a new one?
Yeah, it's an updated version.
It works with the Android now or something. But yeah, you have a weather station in your house and then set a whole bunch of those.
The Nanatmo is actually really cool. So it's a weather station that has an app that lives on your iPhone or iPad, and all the information from the weather thing syncs to the cloud, and you can download it from any device. It's pretty cool. Yeah. I didn't know they had an updated one. I hope it's fancier.
That and the Bluetooth fork or whatever.
Bluetooth.
You should talk about the Bluetooth fork.
No, don't touch the mic.
Oh, sorry. No, I was going to twist it towards her.
He put his hand on my
mic. Do you want to sit on my lap while you talk about this, Tracy? Or?
Well, Tracy got a demo, yeah.
I got a demo, too.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Do you want to
Tracy? No, I just thought it was, first I thought it was really cool. And then I noticed, I talked to the lady, and she said that it only tells you how many bites that you're eating. So if you're eating too fast, it will tell you to slow down. But it doesn't really tell you what you're eating, so it doesn't matter... If you're eating
sugar, or a steak,
It doesn't really help you. It just tells you to slow down eating. So
you take
and it vibrates, right?
It vibrates if you're eating too fast. So you gotta slow down. I think you're supposed to eat like 10 bites.
Dude, that's like, how much does it cost?
$99.
That is the biggest.
They're trying to crowdsource it to get it funded too.
It's in fun colors though. They're happy.
It's a Kickstarter?
Well, it's not even the Kickstarter.
That was old.
No, they don't know if it's a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo. They're waiting to see which one they want.
Yeah, so they're trying to
but they have the money to blow
that's not about it. There was another Kickstarter, like a 360 speaker. You spend like what, $10,000 on that, then you get like a freaking CES booth and all the press, and then you get maybe $20,000 in donations. I don't know.
Kickstarter's
a Bluetooth fork.
It is the worst. The Bluetooth fork is a terrible idea.
Nah, I've seen it all.
Well, no, like Bluetooth. I mean, the Bluetooth fork is just like, I mean, that's what we're here for. But like you
weird
know.
Crap like that. Yeah.
It was like last year we saw that bat bike. Remember the guy made a bat trike? Do you guys not remember that? And I was like, that's like the coolest thing I've seen here. Because a lot of the rest of the stuff is just old hat.
Oh, in the auto area?
Yeah, it was in the auto era. Okay, so the Bluetooth fork was
Charlie,
obviously.
What do you see?
Well, I looked at the fuel cell thing you mentioned, and it seems like just another terrible idea. Their pitch was that you'll never have to plug in your...
it was called the Nectar fuel cell.
The Nectar fuel cell.
And it was a charging brick.
Yeah, it's a charging brick, and then you, instead of using electricity, you know, instead of plugging it into the wall to charge the battery, it's a fuel cell, and you buy what... So the device costs $300,
yep.
Or will when it comes out in a few months.
Available Brookstones near you.
Yeah. When? In April or something? March?
Summer. Yeah.
But the thing is, it's $10 for a fuel cell to plug into it. And
only the price of two cups of coffee, he said.
It's expensive coffee.
What is in the fuel cell? Like
super expensive coffee.
Fuel.
Well, what kind of fuel?
Oh.
Gas? Hydrogen?
No. It's a silicon-type fuel, he said. And it uses... It converts like the silicone into like butane, where it uses butane. And he said it provides like up to like 2 weeks of charges. So
well, ten charges for a smartphone.
Is it radioactive?
For $10.
Yeah, and if it bites.
Yeah, and then once you're done with this little cartridge,
I should buy it. That's what you're saying.
You pop it off, you recycle it, and then you buy another cartridge for $10.
Yeah, but it's more plastic to recycle, which is, you know, just because it's better to not recycle things at all, right?
Yeah.
Instead of. Your recycling's fine, but it's better not to waste things in the first place. And then
it seems more common. If you have a charger,
it's $1 a charge. $1 a charge. That's crazy.
$1?
Yeah, it's $10 for 10 charges.
How much does it cost in the airport when you're low on juice? Probably like
free.
Cents,
free. Right? Free stations.
Plus all those Mophie juice packs and all those other.
Yeah,
breaks.
If you're going camping
like
or something
$50.
Like this, it might be handy because you can stay away from. You know, that's a couple of weeks away from the mains. But you could also use like a solar cell, like a solar panel.
But they've been talking about fuel cells as like, you know, the sort of charging technology of the future.
Oh, I did see
this.
Yeah,
is like,
yeah.
This is the first one I saw. I haven't seen
that
one.
This
before.
Is the first one I've seen too, yeah.
It seems like a step backwards. It's like trying to make gadgets use like liquid fuel like a car when the cars are turning electric.
Well, I thought you could go into like, you know, the liquor store and get one of those butane gas lighters.
That would
be able to like squirt it into your laptop and the thing would last for like 3 weeks.
Well, let me see.
Nothing could ever go wrong.
Well, theoretically, like, what's the benefit of fuel cell technology? Like, I always thought that it was like, I mean, this just seems like a more expensive way to charge it than straight electricity.
Yeah,
well, fuel cells are efficient in some ways because just if you, so say you have like your electric car, for instance. So you start with like your coal or whatever, your gas, and then you burn it. And then you turn, you know, you make steam and then you turn that into electricity. And then you get that back and you turn that back into, this is the jet lag. It's kicking in now. What was I talking about?
No idea. Steam?
Maybe we should move on to something more.
Yeah. So Charlie
yeah.
got here last night from Barcelona. He's writing as he's coming over jet lag.
Listen, I've got an impromptu thing.
Okay.
All right. The truth of the matter is, I don't think any of us saw anything at CES unveiled that was like totally blow your
revolutionary.
Socks off.
Yeah.
But let's all talk about like the imaginary products that would be really cool if we'd seen at CES unveiled. Like, because Buster and I were talking about like
idea.
You know, like,
hide your kids' ears. I have a feeling you're gonna want to place your hands over your kids' ears.
Well, you know, like
a shake weight, like a shake weight,
like a shake weight, a shake weight.
Yeah.
So but like. Buster saw some sort of battery.
It's an iPhone battery, like a battery pack, but it also has a hand crank. so that you can like power up the battery for the battery
while you crank
pack.
It?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I was asking him like, oh, well, like if I want to charge my iPhone, like just cranking this, how long would it take? And they're like, it's not designed for that. It would take forever. Mm-hmm. And they're like, it's just to provide like a couple seconds for an emergency call, which is just like crazy to me to have it in the first place. Know, but right. Whatever.
I mean, that might be good for like hiking or something, right? Like, what else would you want?
Even if I was hiking, I'd carry like an extra battery with me.
Or like one of those solar chargers or something.
It's not the best idea, but anyway, yeah. John, you had a better idea.
So like my completely pornographic idea for this is that like instead somebody should sell like a glove that you can use while. To recharge your iPhone, like, you know, so make it happen, CES 2014. I'm looking forward to it. Like,
you, John has his money out, he's shaking it around in his hand. Yeah. I want that product.
$20.
So, I mean, you know, tonight was like a little, I mean, usually these things ramp up, so
yeah, we're on the ramp for sure because we didn't see anything super cool like you did. I did see a cool product that I cannot remember the name of. But it was a piece of like GPS thing that you put in your luggage.
That's what Leander was saying.
And you know, I don't know how it. I don't think it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. But it basically allows you to like do mobile me for or not mobile me, but like find your luggage. And it was cool because you could see if someone was walking away with it. You could see if it was lost, where it was.
Yeah.
Can't see if someone's walking away with it. I wrote about this last week, and the accuracy of it is it's only to city-wide, so you can tell what city.
Really? That's not what the guy told me.
Well, that's what I...
That is literally not what that freaking dude told me. Well, and I believe you more than I believe him.
Well,
So he was like lying through his teeth. He's like, oh yeah. We literally have Find My iPhone for luggage. That's what he probably was saying to me.
Yeah, but the thing costs like it's $100. If it's the same thing I wrote about last week, it's $100, and then you have there's a fee to. It's like getting a cell phone. There's like a sign up fee.
Well, he said theirs was $50, but there is a fee.
So maybe it's a different
thing. So it's $12.99.
They're all coming out of these things. There's a whole bunch of them. I talked to a guy tonight that was like trying to do them for initially $15. A sensor, and this is like a Bluetooth, very thin Bluetooth dongle that also had GPS in it. And he was saying they were 15, they were probably going to get them down to 9 once they got a bunch of partners. And eventually, and soon they want to get them to free because they want what they're doing is they're selling the software, they want to sell it as a service.
Mm-hmm.
And so, he was trying to find people to like hit they're here at the show to try to find people who will give these things away for free. And it looked pretty cool. I mean, like, you know, it seemed like if they could. The prototypes you showed me were very, very thin. They're like as thin as a credit card.
This is the luggage thing you're still talking about?
Well, they had a keychain one.
Oh.
He had one that would go in your wallet that was like a credit card. And they had ones that would go in your car, your luggage.
So like all sorts of track
anything,
your items.
You just
track
any shit. And in fact, that is actually, I think this is one thing we should be looking out for this week is that the sort of internet, what they call the Internet of Things, adding this kind of internet intelligence to all sorts of stuff. And there's like, they've got these, you know, we'll see fridges, we'll see shoes.
How does someone need a fridge?
All the biometrics.
Track my fridge. Where did my fridge go?
Well, it's like, it sounds stupid now, but I think eventually, you know, like, once they add, like, there's been a lot of talk about adding radio sensors to all the products we put in a fridge. So, you know, when you pull out the milk, it'll tell when you need new milk, when you need to replenish.
I feel like I've been hearing about this for years.
Well,
yes. It's true, but I think it's actually starting to happen now.
Well, and Apple is like well positioned.
In a stupid way.
Apple is well positioned. Like, I wrote a piece recently about the connected home and home automation. Like, Apple has been, in the last month or two, like, seriously been pursuing like buying home automation companies. Like,
really?
Yeah. There was the R2
company,
R2.
Microsoft.
So they're interested in this. Like, they know people are controlling their homes from their iPhones. And like, if you think about it, and you think of also about their television ambitions, like, you know, I mean, whether or not it's a sad fact or not, like, the truth of the matter is that most American homes, like, the center of the home is the TV.
Right.
Right? Like, if their TV can be a home automation console,
exactly.
Game over.
Yeah,
you know, it's that's it.
That's in the next frontier. The TV is going to become the computer of the home.
Yeah, like, you know, what if made for iPhone and iPad next is made for iHome? Like, they sell, you know, all of their devices now have, like, low-power Bluetooth 4.0 capability. Like, I don't know that this is, like, I don't know for sure this is coming, but, like, you've got, like, guys, like, if you have people like Tony Fadell, the father of the iPod, going into home automation, like, that means something.
Yeah. With a mass thermostat.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, that means something. Like, he, you know, he's not just some fool. Like, he is a guy who understands exactly how Apple thinks, and he's like, I'm going to get in on this.
Well, all of this stuff looks stupid, I think, now, but they're making, you know, it is, they're small baby steps. Like, someone was saying Withings tonight has added a glucose heart rate.
What is Withings?
Withings is a French company that does a smart scale.
Yeah.
And they also do a smart heart rate monitor that attaches to your iPhone. So you get all this kind of biometric data, your weight, your percentage of body fat, your blood pressure. And what was that? What did they add?
The heart rate.
To what?
Yeah.
To the scale?
Yeah.
But someone also had a sugar monitor, I think, too, as well. Like the blood sugar.
Do you need to get blood to do that thing? Like you need to prick a finger and get some.
It must have done. It must be like a sensor on a chip. I just walked by it. I didn't see the thing. But they, you know, like you go to an Apple store and you see this though. I mean, like, you know, if you look at your local Apple store, they have a ton of all this sort of biometric stuff. The up band from Jawbone, the Nike Fuel band, you know, Withings scales, you know, on and on.
They sell the color changing light bulbs as well. Right. The Philips Hue,
which was one of our like best gadgets last year. Like
the Philips Hue.
Hue. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
What is it? Yeah. I don't even know what it is.
It's color changing light bulbs that are controlled with your iPhone.
It's a $50 light bulb, is what it is.
But it's awesome.
I mean, if you want my prediction, like, and I don't know if this will come true, but my prediction is that the cable companies will continue to freeze Apple out, and so that, you know, but I think that them entering home automation and controlling your home is at this point like a little more likely than them releasing an HDTV.
I think what we're talking about is that they're already kind of doing this, aren't they? You know, like, because there are all these devices, this Internet of Things is already starting to happen. I think it's only going to accelerate.
So you'll be able to do this to answer your iPhone in the future.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Clap on, clap off. Yeah. All the toys. There was a bunch of toys there this year, and there's a bunch of toys as well in the App Store. There are some really clever ones, you know, like a car that you can drive around, an iPad, and if you turn the lights on, it gives you this effect in the software that the lights are on, and they're beautiful things. I mean, they're very, very clever. I think we're seeing a whole bunch of stuff that's actually, you know, like, it looks kind of stupid here in the context of CES.
I think it sounds very viable. Like, there's the Lockatron, remember that thing that you put on your door and you control it with your iPhone, unlocks your door?
And it's obvious to me that Siri is, like, meant to eventually be, like, the interface to all this shit. Like, you know, like, all this home automation
Siri,
stuff.
Siri, lock my house and your car starts.
No, totally. Like, is there any more natural way of controlling it? Like, they don't want you to be doing an app. They want you to be like Siri, like,
unlock,
you know,
my doors.
Yeah, feed my dog. You know, like, you know, whatever. Like, I mean,
Irfan playing the doors.
No, it's gonna be like a whole
unlock my doors, Siri.
It's gonna be like a whole Doc Brown setup with Siri. Like, you know, I definitely think that that's what's coming. And
well,
like,
Elgin had a great column about Siri, and he was saying that, like, you know, our generation,
Mike Elgin, right?
Mike Elgin, called him Max columnist.
Right.
Yeah, he's a columnist. He does a weekly column.
Right.
And he was saying that, you know, like, people of our generation would type into Google, you'd look for something, you'd look for some information, and Google would give you a bunch of sort of guesses.
Yeah.
And you would go down the list of guesses. He was saying that his cousin, 17 years old, got an iPhone 5 for Christmas, and he spent the whole day talking to Siri, asking for answers. And Siri would give back. It wouldn't give a bunch of options. It would give an answer. It would say, Siri, you know, how tall is Mount Everest? And it would say 29,000 feet or whatever. Siri would give answers. Not a list of options, but an answer.
Now you sound like you're talking about Bing, the decision engine.
Oh, is that what they say?
That's what Bing is. They're like, stop searching. Use Bing.
Oh,
and you're
okay.
Like,
no,
how tall is Mount
this.
Everest? It's like, now all you're talking about is an interface to read it to you.
Well, he gave, you know, what I thought was a pretty compelling scenario about the future of interacting with computers, where, like, not only do you talk to them in natural language, but they give you, like, you know, a human-like answer.
I think that sounds amazing. Like, you're talking about the world of Alien, right? Where you're talking
about
computers.
Well, if you think about it, the way we do it right now is completely f***ed up. Like, we're, like, you know, like, we go into Google.
I'm gonna have to bleep that out. Thank you.
I'm sorry. But in Google, that was it, you know.
I'm just gonna put explicit at the beginning.
No, but at Google, like, No, no, we're okay. We're okay.
Is your wrist okay? You keep pointing at it.
Okay.
What's wrong with your wrist, Leander? You keep pointing at it. Yeah, we should wrap up after this.
Let me say this, and then we can wrap up. Google, you know, right now we do this thing where we're like, type in, like, you know, how tall is Mount Everest? And Google gives us, like, 100 answers. Like, and they're like, well, maybe one of these will be one that you'll be happy with. Yeah. Like, but, you know, that's...
Yeah, it's like wearing two watches. You never know what the right time is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, that's the future. But, you know, so CES tonight, you know, we saw some good things. We have some things to think about, but not in any way. Like, tomorrow, Tuesday. Tomorrow's when the keynotes start.
Right.
That's when you are... We're going to start learning what the actual industry thinks Apple's going to be doing.
Exactly. That's a great point. So we're still really early. The whole conference is ahead of us still. So it'll be interesting to see how it all wraps up at the end. And I'm kind of thinking there's going to be a theme here at the end, like that all these places are going to be like heading in the same direction. So it'll be interesting to see if that happens.
So who are we going to see tomorrow? We're going to go see...
Samsung, for sure.
Samsung, yeah, well, Samsung keynote, right?
We're going to do that for Cult of Android and Cult of Mac.
Okay. And who else? Who else we got?
Panasonic, right? LG.
Panasonic, like TV, like... You know, I mean, we're always disappointed.
I want to see if they make
this,
like, a smart TV. That's
I'm excited to see Pioneer too, because one of the things we haven't seen yet is AirPlay integrated into the car, and it's such a natural fit to use the Apple technology in your car, and it's the last place really that Apple, I mean, is really not available at all.
Ford's, well, I mean, they're Pioneer and Ford.
Ford does
Ford's
a
coming
too.
Ford's coming out, and like at the iPhone 5 announcement, there was a lot of talk about how Ford, a lot of car partners were going to be interfacing with Lightning and Siri in the future. So maybe we'll see some things from that, which will be interesting.
We can go see some $300 headphones from Monster too.
Yeah, there's
they're only $300. Are they on sale now?
Yeah. No. The $300 ones are the HDMI cables.
If you want the furry bag, the holder bag, it costs like $700.
Hey.
Just so you know. So anything else? We should wrap it up right there. I think that's probably good. Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's Showstoppers tomorrow night, which is like
a press.
CES Unveiled is kind of like a little, like just a little amuse-bouche of that. Like,
moose
so,
boosh,
you know, where,
up.
Like...
Tell me what it means.
It means a little taste.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's like,
it'll
be nice. Like, so we'll go to that, and that's going to be huge. So stay tuned tomorrow for the Cultcast. We'll come right home and
Excellent. Get
drunk, and we'll talk about how we thought of things.
Especially
so.
Leander Koenig. He'll be drunk by 12 noon. Okay, great. So if you want to follow our adventures on Twitter, Charlie, you're at...
Mr. Charlie.
Mr. Charlie?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm at Arifon, E-R-F-O-N, Busters, B-S-T-3-R. We've got L. Caney down there, or as Leo Laporte likes to say, L. Caney.
As Leo Laporte likes to say,
And then we've got, John is at Dr. Crypt, and it's, what, do you need to spell this? You should spell it.
D-R-C-R-Y-P-T.
Okay, great.
You don't need to follow me, it's
alright. No, you should definitely follow him.
Don't follow me.
Great, so that's all we got for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night, but we'll see you tomorrow for another special episode. Until then.
Peace.
Hasta la vista?
Hasta la vista. Go to the chopper!
Alright, cool. Let's hope that sound is good.